happens, Father. And we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. We thank you for those dear folks in the nursing homes that are right now are shut away from their family and their friends. And Father, I just ask that you look out over them and give them the strength and health and encouragement they need at this time, Father. I just pray to be with our missionaries today and all the many trials and struggles they face. I just ask that you meet each one of those, that you encourage them and you give them fruit for their labor in the fields where you'd have them. And Father, we just thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to thank all of you that have been praying for Isaac. I think a while back, I told you we had to apply for custody for Isaac. Looks like that's coming to a close at the end of this month. Lord willing, it's coming to a close. It's been an ongoing thing for a few months, and with this coronavirus, it's put it back even farther. And I'm looking forward to the time where we get custody of our own son. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But that's the way it is. And I told my wife back beginning of the year when it started that it was best if I stay out of it. And I was going to let her handle that and just let me know what I need to do, because I would liable to tell them what I think of that whole mess. And that's not going to solve anything. That's not going to do any good. I mean, there's a system that's in place, whether you like it or not, and that's the system we have to go through. So I just like to thank you for the ones that have been praying for that situation. And it looks like it's, Lord willing, at the end of this month, that'll be done with. A few weeks ago, two or three, 4 weeks, I can't remember exactly, I preached a message to people in the nursing home. We're going to be in Amos 4:12 is where we're going to start. I preached a message to those dear folks about preparing to meet thy God. Preparing to meet thy God. And you never know when it comes to those people in the nursing homes whether they actually have the understanding that's needed. But the Lord just laid on my heart to let them know that there's coming a time they're going to stand before God. And we all have that meeting that's going to take place. But then I got to thinking more about that, and Brother Jeremy showed up at the house, and he probably thought I was a little bit crazy because I come right out the front door, and I told him about we're gonna have to meet God someday. And I says, you know what? Every day of our lives, we should be preparing for that one meeting. Every day of our lives. It's not just a matter of, you know, I think when I first got saved and I read that verse, Amos 4:12, and it says, prepare to meet thy God. I'm thinking, okay, there's saved and there's unsaved. If you're saved, you're prepared. And if you're not saved, you're not prepared. And that's true. But that's not all there is to that. No, if you're saved, every day, we lift our heads up off the pillow in the morning. We need to have the mindset to prepare ourselves to meet God. Because, and I got the verses in here someplace, yeah. Because I will do this and prepare to meet that God. And in that context right there, I think we're all familiar with that. God's tried a lot of different things to get his children to come back to him. They would not listen. Finally, just to make a long story short, he says, prepare to meet that God. But that phrase alone, prepare to meet that God, is something all of us should take very seriously. Because the Bible does say what we're going to give an account of ourselves, and I got that in here someplace. Even every idle word we say. And then I also have in here today the judgment seat of Christ, and those things that burn up were not, they represent the times we spent not preparing. But before we get into that, and I was telling Brother Jim this yesterday, I'm going to take this opportunity this morning to talk about masks and murder. And then we'll take a look at the Amos 4:12. Masks and murder. The nursing home services, you know, I'm going to bring this up because November 3rd, Jim's smiling over there. November 3rd, we vote for a president. November 3rd. And I don't get up here very often for Sunday school. I don't know if I'll be back up here before November 3rd. That's why I'm going to take this opportunity today. But that's only what? Today's July, so we got August, September. We got 4 months, and we're going to vote for a president to lead this country. We're going to vote for a president to lead this country. Masks and murder. What am I getting at there? Masks. Okay, well, apparently tomorrow, Is anyone in favor of recalling Governor Whitmer? Yeah, I am. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. I'll raise mine. That's good enough. You know what she says? Starting tomorrow, I think something about we have to start wearing masks. I don't know how that's going to affect us at work. I really don't. But regardless, she wants people to wear masks. She's shutting in these elderlies in the nursing homes. You know, shutting these people in these nursing homes, doing them far greater harm than any virus. You know, can you imagine? I see you folks sitting out there with your family. Can you imagine being shut away from your family? Family and friends are not allowed to visit these people. Family and friends are not allowed to visit them, and they say it's because they want to protect the lives of the elderly. What they're worried about are lawsuits. They're not worried about the lives of the elderly when they say abortion is essential. Why is the life of somebody 98 years old essential or important when the life of an unborn child is not important? Masks and murder. And maybe one of these times I'm going to preach a message on masks and murder. But I just wanted to say that because November 3rd's coming. You know, just because people call themselves Christians and sit in churches don't mean they vote for people who are against abortion. I don't even want to use that word abortion very much. It's against people. They vote for people who are in favor of killing children. November 3rd's rolling around. Isn't that the first thing we ought to think about when we go to vote for somebody? Is where do you stand on killing little children? Don't tell me you're concerned about some 98-year-old person you don't even know, and you're going to lock them in a room. You're not going to let them see family and friends, and they're going to have to wear a mask. They can't even gather together amongst themselves anymore. But yet when it comes to a child, well, we can kill it. You know, it used to be you could only kill that child when it was so far along. Now it doesn't matter how far along it is. What's the next step? That's after it's born. You don't want that child? Well, let's get rid of it. But yet we'll cast our vote in what's in our best interest. And not for the sanctity of life. Now, you know, in the book of Exodus, what? Thou shalt not kill, right? Thou shalt not kill. But yet we'll vote for somebody that'll kill. I just wanted you to think about that because 4 months away is election day, and that ought to be the first thing on the list when we decide who we're casting our vote for, because once that vote is casted, it's like me standing up here saying words. Once they're out, they're out. Once that vote is casted, it's casted. You can't get it back. So I just wanted to... I'm sorry I'm not getting into this yet, but November 3rd's coming. November 3rd's coming. And I'm not talking Republican, Democrat here. I'm talking about individuals. How are they going to lead? How are they going to govern? Okay. Prepare to meet that God. You know, you've heard that saying, there's only two things. I forget how it goes exactly. There's only two things certain in life, death and taxes. I haven't heard that in a long time. Well, taxes isn't certain. You don't have to pay taxes. You might suffer the consequences, but you don't have to pay them. Death, well, Enoch and Elijah, they didn't suffer death. If you're born again and the Lord comes back, are you going to suffer death? The only thing that is certain is we're going to stand before God. That is a given. You know, we prepare for all sorts of different things. You know, Lord willing, we prepared to be here today. The point of being here today is not to sit around here and fellowship with one another. That's a reason to be here, but that's not the point of the day. The point of being here today is to meet with God. That's what we need to prepare for. Now, how many, don't raise your hands. Now, how many people in here have come to church this morning and put no preparation into being here today? Just think about that. Just thinking about that. Every day should be preparing to meet thy God. Every day. What'd you do yesterday? What'd I do yesterday? Was there anything in our day yesterday that prepared us to meet God? Was there anything in our day that prepared? Don't get me wrong. I know we got things to do. I got to sit out on the lawnmower, right, and mow the yard. Now, that's not exactly preparing to meet God, but it's something that has to be done, and we all have those things we got to do. I understand that. But throughout our day, if a whole day goes by, a 24-hour period goes by, did we do anything in that 24 hours for that meeting we've got coming up? Anything at all? Preparing ourselves and preparing others. You know, Andy at work, I was talking to him, I don't know, a week ago, week and a half ago, maybe it was a couple weeks ago, telling him he needs to be prepared because he's going to stand before God. And he said he's prepared. That's between him and the Lord. I don't want to judge whether he is or isn't. But then he has two daughters. I said, what about your daughters, Andy? Are they prepared? Are they prepared? Well, I got him to thinking there a little bit. And Andy's pretty, he has a tender heart and he's emotional. A couple tears come down his eyes at that point. But that's what the people out there need to know, is that there's coming a day they are going to stand before God. They are going to stand before God. Okay. The rich and the poor, the old and the young, the learned and the unlearned are all going to meet God. They're all going to stand before God. We may have canceled a lot of appointments in our lifetime. I know I've backed out of appointments before, and people call up, want a meeting at work, and hey, whoa, wait a minute. They'll say, let's do it at 2:30. I say, I'm not prepared for that at 2:30. We'll do it at a different time. Well, this is one appointment that we're not going to back out of. We're not going to get away from it. We all have to face the God who created us. Let's go to Romans 14, 12. Romans 14, 12. It says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You know, speaking of what we did yesterday, you know, we're going to have to give an account of those things we did yesterday. When we stand before God, we're going to have every one of us. There's not anybody. Gretchen Whitmer, she's going to have to give an account. But so are we. So are we. If we could spend our day thinking about that, the things we say, you know, like tomorrow. Let's just pick tomorrow. The things we say tomorrow. The places we go tomorrow, the things we do tomorrow. What about the things we look at tomorrow? What about the things we listen to tomorrow? We're going to have to give an account of those. Not to anybody else other than the Creator, other than to God Himself. And that's part of preparing every day. Every day. There's work that needs to be done. Prepare means to get ready. You know, we need to get ready for that appointment that we have. Prepare means to make one's self ready. I can't make you ready. I have no desire, really, to make you ready for your meeting other than to help you along the way if I can. But it's about getting me ready. If each one of us had that mindset, that we were getting ourselves ready, because that's what it's all about. When I'm standing before God, there's not a one of you going to be there. There's not a one of you going to be there. And when you're standing before God, I'm not going to be there with you. It's you and God Almighty. It's you and God Almighty. Let's go to Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36. But it says here, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." I'm used to going back here now for the last 4 months doing these nursing home services. But I say unto you that every idle word, even the idle things we say, we're going to have to give an account of. And we're going to do that when we have that appointment with God. We're going to do that when we have that appointment with God. You know, Sister Kelly, she's not in here. I was going to ask her if it was all right if I read this. She wrote it, but I forgot before the service started. So I'm going to read it anyway. She gave this to Isaac last week. I don't think she'll mind. And, you know, why I'm reading this to you is because she's trying to prepare Isaac. She's trying to prepare. She might not have been thinking that in her mind when she wrote it, but that's what it's about. And she says here, she gave this to Isaac. She must have been sitting around her house, and she was thinking about Isaac. You see, she cares about the day he stands before God. Jesus cares about Isaac. Jesus sees Isaac when Isaac is happy. Jesus sees Isaac when Isaac is sad. Jesus sees Isaac when Isaac obeys. Jesus sees Isaac when Isaac disobeys. Jesus knows what Isaac is thinking. Jesus died for all the wrong things that Isaac and everyone else have done. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus wants everyone to ask him to wash their sins away and save them. Jesus sees every person, and he is waiting for people to admit their sin and turn to him. Now, I don't think she'll mind I read that, but it blesses my heart that somebody is just sitting around there. I'm assuming she was at her house when she wrote that. But yet, even though she's there, she's thinking about somebody else in that meeting that somebody else is going to have before God. She was trying to prepare him. And that's our job, too, not only to prepare ourselves, but prepare those around us. Let them know that they will stand before God. Let them know that everything they do, they're going to have to give an account of that. Even the idle words. Idle words. Boy, we throw words around easy. I do. I assume a lot of us do. But we're going to have to give an account of those. We're going to have to give account of them. Anyway, I appreciate Sister Kelly, what she did there for Isaac. Isaac, you know, I told you I appreciated your prayers for him concerning the guardianship, and just as long as I'm talking about Isaac here for a minute. His understanding is, to me, it grows by leaps and bounds. I mean, he might not be able to talk like I'm standing up here talking, but he understands. And when Tina was doing that thing with the psychiatrist there, Isaac did some things for the psychiatrist. Tina thought in her mind, there's no way he's going to do that, but he did it. He did it. He answered her questions. It was math problems. And he did it. And ever since he's been in Brother Steve's class over there, he has come quite a ways over there. And so I appreciate what Brother Steve has been doing for him. But anyway, the word, I already told you what the word prepare means. It means to get ready, to get ready. And then it also means to make oneself ready. Notice what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6. Now, Lord willing, if we prepare ourselves on a daily basis, isn't this, let's go down to, we'll read verse 6 and 7. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Why would he say he's ready to be offered if he wasn't prepared to meet his God? Today, are there any of us in here today that can say we're ready? Maybe. I'm not saying there's not. Or are there some in here today that there's no way we can say we're ready today to meet God? And the time of my departure is at hand. So he knows he's going to go. And then verse 7, it says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I just wonder, when Paul says, "I am ready," remember, prepare means to make one ready, to make oneself ready. He says, "I'm ready." What he's saying is, I'm prepared. I am prepared for that day when I meet God. We all need to daily know we are prepared, because we don't know. You know, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment. We have an appointment. We just don't know when that appointment is. If I knew when that appointment was, I could basically just lead my preparations all the way up to that time. But it might be 4 o'clock this afternoon, for all I know. At 4 o'clock this afternoon, if the Lord requires my soul, am I going to be ready? Remember, being prepared is to make oneself ready. Am I going to be ready? Am I going to be prepared for that meeting? The condition of our soul the condition of our soul will determine the nature of this meeting that we have. The condition of our soul. For the lost, the meeting with God will not go well. They're going to have that meeting, but it's not going to go well. And because we're sitting in church here today, don't mean the meeting's going to go well for every one of us. It doesn't mean it's not either. I'm not implying one way or the other. But I know what Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, says. There's a whole lot of people sitting in church this morning across this land and across the world that Matthew 7, 21 through 23 is talking about. But for the lost, that meeting's not going to go very well. But let's go to Revelation. And this ain't nothing new to everybody. We all know this. But this is their meeting. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 down through 15. I read this verse a lot to those dear folks in the nursing homes. And it says, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it." Now, this is for the people who weren't prepared. Keep that in mind. They weren't prepared. You know what this is for? This is for those people that sat in those churches in Matthew chapter 7 through, or yeah, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." There was nothing else to judge. All you had was the works. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." And I'll stop right there just for a minute. I went to a funeral yesterday online. It was on, what do you call that? Huh? Zoom, I guess, whatever that is. But we watched it. It was down in Florida, was the funeral, and we watched it on a computer screen. She was cremated, and her husband died a few years back. He was cremated, and they took all those ashes, and they dumped them in a St. John's River down there in Jacksonville, Florida. Dad was telling me about that. Well, I took the opportunity to tell him, you know what? Someday the Lord's going to put all those ashes back together. Going to put them all back together. And they're going to, if they're not saved, they're going to be right here at this judgment. Dad, you know, he wants to be buried at sea because he spent his, you know, over 20 years in the military. He wants to be buried at sea. And I've told him before, you can be buried at sea, but you're coming back up out of there. You're coming back up out of there. Okay, let's keep going in verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That is the meeting that will take place for all those who are not prepared to meet thy God. If we can get a message across to the lost people out there, the people we work with, our neighbors, whoever it might be, is that they have a meeting coming up. And if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, right here's their meeting. Right here's their meeting, and you're not getting out of it. You know, all those who shake their fist at God and say there is no God, well, we all know only a fool says something like that in his heart. All those who shake their fist at God, this is their meeting. If we could get a vision for that, that there will be a meeting for those people with God, And we've just read how that meeting's going to go. Cast into the lake of fire. For the saved, there's the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to, let's start out with 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, for the saved, it's not good enough just to be saved when we're talking about the meeting that we're going to have with God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, For we must all appear. Now, we're talking about the saved, the born-again people here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. It doesn't matter what it is since the time we've been saved. It's going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we've read this thousands of times, I understand. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. And it says here, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and that gets me back to what we did yesterday, which each one of us did yesterday, or Friday, or pick a day, I don't care, what are we going to do tomorrow? It's either going to be gold, silver, or precious stones, or it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. That's our works for tomorrow. That was our works yesterday. Now, if any man build upon... I do this to the pastor all the time right here. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be made known. Nothing's done in secret. For the day of the Lord shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, what did we do yesterday? Is it coming out ashes? He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved yet as by fire. Now, I think maybe I've heard somebody here, I don't know if it was Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Austin back there, or maybe it was somebody else, but they were telling me in their mind that the judgment seat of Christ, all of our works are going to be on a conveyor belt. And that's the way I look at it. It's all going to be right there on this conveyor belt, and it's going to convey it right through the fire. What's going to come out the other end? What's going to come out the other end? Ashes? What did we do yesterday? What are we going to do tomorrow? Will it be ashes? Or will we be preparing to meet our God, and we'll have some jewels there for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. We need to prepare. I was telling Pastor Jeremy when he showed up to the house that one evening, we need to prepare daily, every day. So I just wrote down a few things, and we're going to be out of time. Let me see. Okay, we'll read a few and see how far we get. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Excuse me, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, I'm going to read this kind of fast. I'm going to go down through verse 22. Starting in verse 13, it says, wherefore gird, and you know what that word gird means? That means make ready. It means make ready. Ready. We're back to prepare again. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And I'll stop there just for a second. So when we say we need to be holy because God is holy, that's a daily thing. It's not on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. That's a Monday morning thing. That's a Friday evening thing. It's a daily thing to prepare ourselves. And if we go on reading here, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, and that's daily, For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foredained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently is daily. That's daily. We're talking about things here that we can do daily to prepare ourselves for our meeting with God. How about Romans 12, 1 and 2? Romans 12, 1 and 2. None of us probably even need to turn to it, but we will. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that living sacrifice is daily. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, that's daily, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And I have on here 9 through 17. Maybe I'll read that real fast. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 17. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. We should be, they say I'm peculiar. I don't know if it's for the biblical reasons or not. But a lot of people say I'm peculiar. But all of us should be peculiar people every day. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. That's a daily thing. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I'm going to keep reading. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which is daily, which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, that's daily, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That's daily, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, that's daily. Love the brotherhood, that's daily. Fear God always. Honor the king. Those things are daily. Ephesians chapter 4. Well, I'm going to skip that one because we're running out of time. I got quite a bit there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. The whole point is there's so many things daily that we can do to prepare ourselves and others around us for that meeting that we have, that they have. What did I say? Ephesians 5, 8. Verse 8 and verse 15. 8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Daily, as we prepare to meet God, we need to walk as children of light. Verse, 15? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's daily. That's daily. That's how we prepare. Too many times I know in my life, and I'll speak for myself here, too many times I know in my life, there's been days I've done nothing to prepare for that meeting. Not one thing. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:12. We all know that one. 1 Timothy 4:12. First Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. And we ought to do that daily as we prepare to meet God. As we prepare for that. Which ones do I want to use here? Let's go to John 14:15. You know, so we read these verses a lot, in church and out of church, but I've never put them into the context of preparing to meet God and then doing them on a daily basis for that reason. In John 14, 15 says, if you love me, and we all say we love the Lord. We all say that. It says, keep my commandments. But that keep my commandments isn't a, when you get all done with life, you look back and say, oh, okay, I kept 82.5%. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's daily keeping his commandments if we love him. Daily. We need to move on. We need to spend our days seeking God. We need to spend our time seeking God in order to be prepared to meet God. Proverbs 8:17. It says here, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. We need to spend our time. We're going to stop. We need to seek God. We need to spend our time seeking God if we're going to prepare to meet God. You know, I could go to the rich man and Lazarus. You know, the rich man, he wasn't prepared for that meeting. Lazarus was. And those that aren't prepared are going to say, have the same fate as the rich man. I could go to the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, there's 5 that were prepared in life and 5 that weren't. The terrible thing is those 5 that weren't, there's no second chance. We get one opportunity to prepare ourselves. Let's just close with this verse here. Matthew 24:44. Matthew 24:44. Joe will probably be there before I will, so I'll just wait on him. I knew it. Matthew 24:44 says, therefore be ye also ready. That's prepared. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are we prepared today to stand before God for that meeting that we all have? Because he's coming when we least expect it. And that meeting's going to happen. We're not going to get out of it. So may we spend our time, whatever time that is, however how much time that is, may we spend it preparing for that meeting that we have with God. Prepare to meet thy God. And may we prepare those around us tomorrow while we're at work, school, wherever our day takes us, around the house with a neighbor, whatever it might be. Let's let them know that they have a meeting coming with God. They're not getting out of it. I'm not getting out of it. What we can do, though, is prepare. We can be ready for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be here. And Father, it's just a privilege to open your word and to have you show us the truth of your word, Father. And we just thank you, Father, for what Jesus Christ has done that enables us to be prepared for that meeting that we have with you, Father. And all we have to do is by faith look to him and repent of our sins and accept that free gift of salvation that you have for us. And it's all based on what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, Father. And you did the work and we reap the benefits. And I'm just so thankful for that, Father. And just help us in the days ahead to be that witness for you, that light for you, and walk as children of yours. Help us to realize that the things we do, we're going to give an account of, Father. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy in our lives. I ask that you bless the preaching that's about to come, Father. Just give the preacher the words to say, the words that will prepare us, the words that will encourage us, the words that will convict us, Father. And we'll just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.